Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Podcast with Borg, Betts, and a Baller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the podcast. It's the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Podcast. It's not normally the voice you hear opening the show. It's me, your boy, Mike the Fantasy Hitman, right? Kyle the Borgogan is on a lovely spring break vacation at this moment, so I'm hosting today.
But it means you get two of us.
Yeah, Jason Moore is here, and Matthew Betts is still here.
How are we doing, boys?
Doing well. Welcome, Matthew Betts, to our league.
We do have big. We'll start. We'll just get it right into it.
Right,
big personal. News. Big personal news. Do we have a break? I don't even know where that drop
Pop
is.
Pop the champagne.
Hold on.
Breaking news.
Matthew Betts has officially joined the Dino Junior Fantasy Football League. That is the much talked about, much celebrated. Due to the multiple championships that Jason and I have co-managed our way to, it was three in a row.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You ever seen anyone win three championships in a row in a Dynasty League, Betts?
You brought up me joining the league just so you could tell everyone one more time
what?
That you won.
What are you talking times? About? We're just and sharing truth. In fact, we were the back-to-back-to-back champions.
Record, Ketron, everyone knows the Biggest Loser. Actually, yeah. Last year was like, hey, man, I really need a co-manager. Like, I'm getting wiped in this league. Can you help me? And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can commit to another league right now. But like, yeah, I'll join and like, I'll give you some advice on trades, whatever. I saw his roster. And after like 2 weeks, I was like, dude, I don't have the brain power to do this anymore. I'm sorry.
There
I had
is
to bail
no helping you.
Very early. So actually, it's my second time in the league. I guess this is the first official time. But I'm excited. It's good for the show. You know, we always talk about it, and then I just get to sit here and like be like, yeah, you guys do play in a pretty fun league together, don't you?
Yep. You are now in. Part of it. So welcome, Betts, to the Dino Junior League. Welcome everybody else into the Dynasty Podcast. Today's show is all about you. It is your questions. We will be jumping into the Dynasty Mailbag. Quick housekeeping note here, UDKPlus.com. That is where you can find the Ultimate Draft Kit Plus, which comes with the Dynasty Pass, which the NFL draft is rapidly approaching. We are, about 3 weeks away from that happening. And when that happens, the final edition of the Dynasty Pass will come out, which is our rookie rankings will be out just in time for all of those rookie drafts to start. Our Dynasty Startup rankings will be adjusted again. We'll give you another mock draft. We will give you some risers and fallers. You can keep looking at the team opportunity charts, which is just, you know, that's kind of a lay of the land to see where we believe the best landing spots are for some of these incoming rookies. A very exciting time of year. UDKPlus.com. Invite you to go and check that out. But the quick question of the day, it's the heat check. Name a player you are heating up or cooling down on for dynasty purposes. Could be a rookie or veteran. Jason, you're chomping at the bit. You want to get in.
I want to go first because
this is disgusting.
I know, because it's disgusting and because it's heat.
Oh, the garbage man can.
gross, bro.
Yeah, well, you know what's in garbage is some men's treasure and some bananas. And I'm bringing up Bananarama himself.
He doesn't have bananas in his trash, Jay. There's no peels in there.
Right. He eats peel and all. Will Levis, last year a rookie quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, a player who duped us in his first outing, looking amazing, throwing four touchdowns, and then the rest of the season kind of being the player that we all were pretty much off of. We just thought, you know, he has a lot of flaws in his game. And I still believe he has a lot of flaws in his game. However, he is a big athletic quarterback that can be used with mobility and have success for fantasy. They brought in Calvin Ridley. They are looking to upgrade the offensive line. I'm guessing that they're going to use their first round pick to do that as well. They have changed from, I think, a great head coach, but a defensive-minded head coach, into an offensive guy. They brought in Brian Callahan, the Bengals OC, to run this. So you've got weapons here. You've got Hopkins and Calvin Ridley and Treylon Burks. You've got an upgraded offensive line and an upgraded offensive mind running the show.
Are you still counting Burks?
As a three, yeah.
Exact same thing.
Yes, yes. As a three, I still am counting Burks.
Okay.
There are, you know, we've got a lot of stat sheets and docs behind the scenes where we've got guys tiered based on all the advanced metrics. And there is kind of this like two or three player tier that is like not dead yet. The behind the scenes metrics look okay enough.
You're talking about like their targets per route run.
Yeah, that type of stuff. And and that's where
he's on life support.
Treylon Burks is. He's not dead yet, and so he's got an opportunity. I'm not sitting here saying go trade for him, but what I am saying is as a third wide receiver for the Titans, next to Ridley, next to Hopkins, this could be a valuable offense. It's not one that we're predicting to be. It's not one that everyone is out there just looking as a top offense. Certainly the temperature on Will Levis in your dynasty leagues is not like people are fighting over themselves to get Will Levis. He looked bad his rookie year, as we kind of thought he would. My only point here in heating up on him is that I feel like in, you know, like if you're in a single quarterback league, you get Will Levis for anything for free. Nobody cares. He's an afterthought. He still has a path to a lot of fantasy points, and they've built this team around him. And it's one of those things where it looks like they're investing in Will Levis. You know, there was thoughts earlier of, are they in the quarterback market? And it seems like their answer with their transactions is no, we're trying to not be in the quarterback market by giving Will Levis everything he needs. He's got a rocket arm. You know, I would rather have, I've got in my dynasty ranks, I've got him ahead of Bryce Young. I would rather have Will Levis
spicy
than Bryce Young, because I don't think Bryce Young is good. I don't think he's going to get good. Whereas Will Levis, I think, will have fantasy relevant games with his legs, and throw more touchdowns than Bryce Young does with his weapons. So I am slightly heating up on Will Levis, a name that, yeah, I mean, look, you're allowed
gross
to gross yourself out.
Yes, this is the show for nasty men.
Yeah, yeah, which, this is a nasty boy.
I very much look forward to the NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans on the clock at 7.
Oh,
drafting J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, for sure. And then,
then you just forget this ever happened.
Yeah, I will be cooling on Will Levis should that happen.
We talk about it all the time. Dynasty, wow, you want it to be a 2 to 3 year window game. There's a lot of day-to-day in Dynasty that has to do with the market. And I mean, I don't disagree that the team is going for it. They are doing the correct thing, which a lot of teams in that position kind of turtle up if they aren't sure that they have the quarterback and the way to the future. They don't start handing out these huge contracts. And the Calvin Ridley one was, I think, pretty surprising publicly, as was the Tony Pollard one. I mean, it was, you have Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's probably going in the Hall of Fame. You got him. He's been on your team. He could have been a lifelong Titan, and I don't know what the situation was. Did Henry want to leave? He didn't want to be part of a rebuild. Did they not offer him the money that he thought was appropriate for him? We don't have that information, but feels like they could have made Derrick Henry a Titan for life, but they didn't want to. They let him go. And then they gave Tony Pollard a good amount of money to come in and be a real similar archetype running back to Tajay Spears. So not the move, whatever, if you agree or disagree, but the point is they're actually trying, which I love. If that was my team, I would be really happy that they're actually going after it. All right, Betts, are you heating or are you cooling on someone?
I'm going to throw out a guy that I am cooling on, relatively speaking, and I'm going to throw out some disclaimers here because I still think this player is good, and it's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. However, when he entered the NFL last year, he was a lot of people's wide receiver one. I think maybe all three of us. I know Kyle
for
sure.
He was the NFL draft's number one.
Yeah, and we thought, man, this guy could be an absolute legit superstar in the NFL. After his rookie year, I'm not sure that path is as likely. I would say it's less likely than what it was when he was drafted. And I'm trying to be more proactive in my dynasty leagues. When I see something in year one, not just like kind of him and haul on it and like wait and be like, well, let's see what happens in year two. Like if there's someone in my league who is still like, JSN is the future for the Seahawks, he is a legit alpha wide receiver one, I don't see that anymore. You know, you look at some of the stuff he had last year, you know, Tyler Lockett was there, DK Metcalf was there, and we all said Seattle's not a great landing spot right now for his rookie year for JSN. And that pretty much came to fruition where Lockett stayed healthy, Metcalf stayed healthy for the most part, and he only played one game, I think, without one of those guys in the lineup. Granted, he did do very well in that game, but for the most part, he never really overtook Lockett. He didn't really eat into DK Metcalf's workload like I thought he would. And so just based off of expectations entering the NFL, I think he disappointed a little bit, relatively speaking. And so I would say for dynasty purposes, again, relative to the market of kind of where I think he's valued, I'm cooling on him. I think he could still be a pretty solid like back-end wide receiver too in fantasy, something like that, moving forward. But I just don't see the ceiling that I once saw, you know, when he came out of college.
Yeah, and Lockett coming back, it really...
That doesn't help.
I think most of us expected it. Lockett wasn't the same guy last year. They'll probably move on. You spent the first round on JSN. Let him cook with DK Metcalf. That's not going to happen. JSN, I think, is... He's so difficult because he was the first wide receiver drafted. He was, you know, I think like a tier ahead. Try to get where you were mentally last year. JSN, Jay, do you disagree with that? Like people thought of JSN, he's in his own tier.
100%.
Where this year it's like, if people want Marv and Neighbors in the same tier, okay. I think some people are going to have Marvin Harrison alone, but a lot of people will say, no, they're fine. There's even, you know, like good friend of the show, Matt Harmon's like, I think Romo Dunze might be there with those other two guys. So this year, there's a lot more conversation. Last year, it was JSN is that dude. And I think that he's mostly held value because you hold on to that after 1 year, that you see that a lot of these wide receivers don't necessarily tank in value, even though the season was not what you had hoped. It's a bold move. I think it's a really, really bold move to take a guy who in a lot of rookie drafts would have been the 101. If he wasn't the 101, the 102, because you had what, him and Bijan were kind of the top two guys. To make the move right now is really bold, but you should be able to get a huge return if you're one of the people who's like, nope, I'm going to be proactive, like Betts is talking about. I'll be proactive. I'm not going to be patient with JSN. I think I've seen enough. It's a really difficult decision to make.
What kind of draft picks would you trade him for, Betts? Because I'm not quite as cool on him. I still think the way they used him behind the line of scrimmage so much, and you know all the yards per route run metrics are going to be stupid when you're just getting the lowest depth of target you could possibly get for all of your plays. But they also did involve him a lot, you know, 17% target share as a rookie with two other stars there. He didn't look anything to me like he was
also
bad.
Coming the beginning of the season, don't forget he was dealing. We were shocked he was there week one because he had a broken wrist.
He fractured
or something.
His wrist. Yeah.
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 Yeah. He played with a broken wrist for a while. So I'm not out, but if you're one of the JSN managers who drafted him, you watched year one and you don't believe he will be a superstar. You say, oh, this guy's relevant, but he won't be a superstar. What are you willing to trade him for in the draft? What, you know, you'd trade him for the 101. You'd rather have Marvin Harrison, obviously.
Yes.
I think I'd rather have all three of the big three in this class. over JSN right now.
Okay.
So Odunze, Marvin, and Neighbors.
Okay.
That's bold. All right, the guy that I am, it's not necessarily like a severe cool, because it just...
Ooh, I didn't know which... I saw this name in
here,
and I was like...
I didn't put it in.
I was like, is he heating or cool? Because I'm not sure.
It's a little uncomfortable, so I'm turning the thermostat down just a degree or two. It's Travis Etienne, running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because the team keeps telling us they don't want him to be a workhorse. It didn't work out last year. Absolutely. The team told us they don't want Etienne to be the guy. They spent a day two pick, a third rounder on Tank Bigsby, who was a good prospect and looked pretty good in preseason, and completely fell on his face. He had one of the most catastrophic starts to an NFL career that you can have. If I'm remembering it correctly, he was basically directly responsible for like two turnovers in his first appearance.
I believe so.
And it spiraled from there. Then we get to the end, and Etienne ends up having, you know, an incredible start. Overall, great season. Running back 3 in a half-point scoring format. But the second half was not anywhere close to as good as the first half, so I don't view him as a running back 3. Still very...
You don't view
young.
Him as the running back.
Right. Yes, I'm sorry. Not a running back.
Or I guess you also don't view him as a running back 3. I'm sure he's higher than that.
Oh, yes.
Where do you think he is for a dynasty league? Is he in your top 10?
I'd have to pull up my ranks, but he's probably in my top 10 because he's a good player. He's 25. But coming out of last season where it really slowed down in the second half, and then almost immediately the team is getting loud about, we got to get, like, Tank Bigsby, it wasn't the rookie season that he wanted. It wasn't the rookie season that we wanted, but we are committed to getting him involved. It's just so much just noise from the team of not just a noise that I'm overlooking, but it's so much signal from the team that they want a shared backfield. I mean, Peterson is notorious for he wants a shared backfield. And I think that's what they do really want. Can Tank Bigsby become that guy? Because it seems unlikely that they will invest another high draft pick into the backfield. They seem committed to Tank for this next year. So much of Travis Etienne is the big play, or last year it was tons and tons of touchdowns. You know, that when he had the streak in the middle, it was three straight games in a row of two rushing touchdowns. And then when he doesn't get the rushing touchdown, it's kind of just, it's okay. It was an okay fantasy game. So I think cooling compared to the market, I'll say that. This is not an abandoned ship on Travis Etienne, but there's probably someone else in your league who wants Etienne more than I do, which I can try and extract some value. Trading running backs, always extremely difficult, because if you have three starting running backs, you're in a rare crowd where most of us have just two true starters, and then we got some guys on the bench that we're hoping get some opportunity. So that's my piece. I'm a little cooler on Etienne.
Yeah, I found myself rising, heating up on Etienne, but only because
he's on your team.
No. Only because I was so down on him. I felt like I was already
I was too.
I was too. If he doesn't get a touchdown, he's not. He just didn't look that great. Like I never saw him really dominate. He just kept getting touchdowns, so I was really low on him. But the more that time has gone on, I've been like, it's still an up-and-coming offense. He's still going to be the dude, even if, you know, hopefully he's more efficient with less work. But I'm probably getting to where we are probably meeting at this about the same spot.
So I've pulled it up. I am at running back 9. So I'll run some guys. Mm-hmm. And we'll see, Jay, do you prefer Travis Etienne or the other player? Devon Achane.
You had to start there. I was looking at that. So right now I've got Etienne one spot ahead.
Oh,
Achane.
All right. Saquon Barkley.
Saquon's one spot ahead of Etienne now that he's got a new contract.
And I think the only other difficult one would be Kyren Williams.
I have Kyren ahead as well.
All right. So I've got Etienne at 8. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I think we have met in the same spot. We came from different areas. Right. And we met them.
How about you, Betts? Any of those running backs I rattled off that you'd prefer, or would you rather have Etienne or those other guys?
I think I would have the other guys, except for, I think I would prefer Etienne over, I'm scared to even say it, over Achan. I love Achan, man. Scary. The talent is so good. Dude, but it's we've never seen this level of efficiency. And certainly you expect him to get more work in year two, but they just gave Raheem Mostert an extension, right? So he's not going away. And the workload is just so secure, I think, for Etienne. I will say one thing that was really encouraging for him last year, which, he came out of Clemson, Etienne did, and we were like, this guy's a great pass catcher. Last year, 58 catches on 73 targets, almost 500 receiving yards. That's a legit receiving profile that not a lot of guys in the league have. So I'm kind of right in line, I think, with Market on Etienne.
All right. That'll do it for the hot and cold. We are going to get into a quick break, and then we will be back with the mailbag.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Mailbag time.
Mailbag.
All right. This first question we are going to jump into is, let's see. This is from Derek off of Twitter. Are there any red flags you've seen in this rookie class to take a guy off your board?
Off the board is more of an extreme,
I agree,
statement. I know that there are guys I won't have because I don't value them the way that the market does. So if I'm in a draft, when I would take this player, which I would still take the player at a certain point, but he will be long gone. And for me, that's Adonai Mitchell. There are...
Oh, man.
I just don't like
him. Every week. Every week we talk about him.
Personally?
No, just like the...
Seems like a great
guy.
To me,
I don't see on film what a lot of people love seeing on film. And it's funny because I hear a lot of people talk about the film is so great, but some of the behind the scenes metrics, the yards per route run, how you
the
do.
Highlights are great.
Yeah, and so you look at a lot of the metrics that we care about and he kind of doesn't do great in them. But I don't understand because when I watch the film, I'm like, I get it. I mean, yes, he's got good highlights, but on a play-by-play basis, I'm not in on him. Now, Andy likes Adonai, he comps him to Anquan Boldin, which I don't see at all. But
I just want to make sure everyone knows that I disagree.
But a lot of people I really, really respect like Adonai Mitchell. So I feel like I'm a little bit more on an island being just almost OUT. And the red flags there are the behind the scene metrics that the ones that are really sticky he fails at.
Yeah. The where it'll become very difficult is AD still projected to be a first round pick?
He's right on that cusp. He'll be a first or second round pick for sure.
When there are wide receivers in the first round, taking that personal stance of I'm going to bet against them is emotionally very difficult. It's not the wrong way to go. Go back through draft history. Wide receivers in the first round bust all the time. Yeah. All the time. But betting against them when there's no NFL tape, it's really, really hard. Especially he'll go in the later round or in the later picks.
So that he'll have a better team, better quarterback. Absolutely. It's gonna be I'm gonna see if I can stick to my guns because I already didn't once. He wasn't even in my top 12 at the pre combine rankings.
Okay.
And then he goes and runs, what was it, like 4.36 or something?
He was a 4.34, 96th percentile.
4.34.
With his height and weight, that puts him at the 96th percentile for a speed score.
I mean, I love it. I love it. And I was like, oh, okay, I got to move him up a little. And so I already didn't hold to my guns once. Oh, man. But so if he ends up going, you know, all of a sudden pick 32, he goes and adds himself to Patrick Mahomes, then I'm going to be like, no, what do I do?
The new episode coming out. Guy you're rising on, heat check, A.D. Mitchell, yeah. after he goes to the Chiefs.
Yeah. What about you two? Are there some guys who have,
do you got one, Betts?
Red or yellow flags that just make you really skeptical?
Yeah, this is maybe is not as hot of a take as it was like a month ago when like Malachi Corley was like the talk of Dynasty Twitter and everyone was like so in love with him because of his yards after the catch type stuff. He's not going to go in round one of the NFL draft. He's not a round one rookie pick. So like, it's not like he's off my board. If he falls to a certain point, like, yeah, I'll take a shot. But I think there's going to be someone in my drafts that just likes him more than I do. A guy that didn't really run NFL routes at all in college. And then he had to dealt with some stuff during the combine, didn't really participate. Did do his pro day. I think the testing was pretty good there, but just not a guy that looks like a classic NFL wide receiver. And everyone in their mind, when they see a guy that can break tackles, just immediately says, oh, he's Deebo Samuel. Well, the issue is there's only one Deebo Samuel. It's Deebo, right? It's very hard to make that comp. So I just don't see that ceiling, you know, for a guy like that. If someone else wants to take him in like the early to mid second, I'll probably pass. If he falls to the back of the second or the third, like, yeah, sure, I can take a shot there.
And this isn't this is not an off draft board, because this player could end up in a fantastic spot if he in the second round. But the way that it seems like the NFL feels, and the way that, like, I know that Jason, you love Jonathan Brooks. You changed yeah. your opinion.
Yes, where, I really do think he's very good.
And I watch Jonathan Brooks and I go,
really?
Eh.
Okay. Ooh, I love him. I think he's great.
People whose opinions I unfortunately respect really like Jonathan Brooks. And this could be one of those things. Maybe I need to go back, because I started my evaluation with Blake Corum and Jonathan Brooks. And I came out of watching both of those guys like, this is the best. This is the draft class. This is what we have to offer. And I got really sad. And because, not that they were terrible prospects, but it was I'm just coming back to college. I'm getting exposure to these guys, and if this is really the best of the best, then this is not great.
Usually, most years when you start scouting and you start at the top, you're just wowed. You're like, oh, this Bijan,
yeah, Bijan.
Oh, this Breece. They're
Jonathan Taylor. This is just like, these guys are incredible. Everyone is so right on these running backs. So those were kind of the two first names. I know people have kind of cooled on Blake Corum, but Jonathan Brooks is still amongst the top for people. And then I put on the Trey Benson tape, and I was like, whoa, we're saved, everybody. Well, Trey Benson's here to save the day.
We're both definitely on the Trey Benson, but I would encourage you watch
Okay,
Brooks
I'll go back and I'll go back and watch. But my notes were like, I think he's good, but I wrote down replacement level.
Really?
And this is, hey, this could be an incredibly terrible take, because this is the difficult thing with the film test is the eye evaluation is so subjective, and honestly, maybe I was in a bad mood.
Okay.
Maybe Blake Corum put me in such a bad mood that when I watched Jonathan Brooks, it was like, I'm already grumpy, so I don't care for this guy.
Reading my notes on Jonathan Brooks, this is how I would encourage you to watch, because I kind of had the same start to you, because you're wanting to see something spectacular.
Yes.
You're wanting to see something really, really special, and you don't see that. So my notes started, seems decent, which is okay. I was like, doesn't seem amazing. Fast, not super fast. Tough, not super tough. Does everything above average. Not sure he does anything amazing. And then as my notes go, as I watch more games, like, I get to this part, the more I watch, the more I like. Most plays are positive. Most of the time he gets yards that are caused by him alone. Again, not a superstar, but a really nice player. Those are my notes on Brooks.
All right. Eric, I'll go back. I'll give him another chance.
All right.
But if I go back and I'm upset again.
That's on me. That's on me. Yeah, you can be extra rude to me for a day.
I will do that. Next question here is from Cooper. How much do you trust your eyes in determining players' value? when their analytics are terrible, i.e. Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Legette?
This is fun. This is funny. So I've already given my Xavier Legette take on this show, which was...
give it to me again so I...
I think he's awesome. I don't understand. So, like, usually, historically, I will always bet against whatever my eyes see when the analytics are as terrible and outlier as they are with Xavier Legette. If you're not familiar with Xavier Legette, he spent 4 years doing nothing. Nothing. When I say nothing.
Yeah, it's a cap of 18 receptions, 167 yards, and that was in year four.
It took 4 years to get to not 200 total yards. This was not injury. He was playing football. He was active for almost every game. How does that dude turn into the dude in his fifth year? You bet against that. There is not one example in the history of college football where that has worked. So I recommend to people listening to bet against that. You go watch a tape, decide whatever you want, bet against that. It doesn't work. But for me, what I will be doing. but I will be in because his 2023 tape is mind-blowingly good to me. He's dominating these guys. He's hitting speeds as fast as DK Metcalf and Tyreek Hill in the open field.
220-pound dude who ran a 4.39.
And on the field, like the miles per hour, he clocked the fastest in college football. His vertical was like jump out of the building. And it's, again, not just combine. You saw it on tape over and over. You throw a jump ball to this guy, no defender can get it. He goes up to the heavens and grabs it. He was a manimal out there. And I don't understand how that could possibly exist after being completely irrelevant for an entire college career. So I don't get it. So usually I'm going to bet against it. I'm betting on my eyes for him.
What if I told you, Jay, those first 4 years, he was actually 5'4"?
I would totally believe it.
And then, out of nowhere,
I would say
the old 22-year-old growth spurt.
I really genuinely believe, I think I've even said it here before, but I do actually think he found the Cave of Wonders. Like, I this is the only possible way it makes sense.
It's in like the rough.
And he only had one wish. And his wish was to be a great wide receiver. Because it makes no sense. So, I don't know. Do you guys have...
Go ahead, Betts.
I pretty much echo Jason in terms of the just bet against this, and 99 times out of 100, you'll be right. And, you know, for me, like, I don't consider
myself...
No,
you are betting against it on Legette this year.
Oh,
right?
I mean, hey, if he falls to a certain point, like, yeah, sure. Any prospect, I'll take a shot. But I tend not to buy into, like, the hype of 1 year of production with the combine. It's like, this guy is dominating children at the age of, like, 24 years old or 23 or whatever he was in his fifth year. You should be, right? You should be doing that. The guys that actually turn into special players, not just in the NFL, but actually for fantasy. Remember, for wide receivers, we really only care about the top, like, 36 guys. So, like, expecting rookies to crack that list, you've got to be great. So I don't see it personally. I get the excitement. I mean, my goodness. But, yeah, I'll bet against that guy.
Yeah, everyone should. I mean that. I really mean that. Like, my genuine advice, I will tell people, don't draft him. I will.
You're trying to drive down his price. You're abusing the podcast, the platform.
Yes.
We know what you're
Give
doing.
Me third round Xavier Legette.
Hey, if this is the third round, I'm in.
Yeah, the numbers are usually right.
Yeah, so that's true.
It's very tough. But
I think we do a good job, if I could toot our own horn, of really caring about the analytics, working hard on the numbers and the data, the sticky stats, trying to get better every year, and also including film. I don't think it's ever right to do one and not the other. The only film people, they're just missing out on a lot of logic that they have at their disposal. And the only metric people, they they lose the context and the reality of the player as well. So I've always felt like that's been important to us, that we are always a both and here.
All right, we got some questions here about the Kansas City Chiefs. DK Onyx wants to know about his Pokemon, first of all. But second of all, does it make sense to try and trade Mahomes in a Superflex, knowing Kelsey is limited on, and I will add in, probably retiring soon, or should
sooner than ever. Sooner than ever.
He should see a decline in his play, because that's what happens. You get old and you're not as good. Well, so we will see. But Kelsey, and then the Rashee Rice situation going on, which we, as of this recording, still have incredibly limited information about, his legal troubles after the automobile accident. So Betts, I'll throw to you. Where are you on Mahomes? Are you wanting to cash in a super flex, get a whole bunch of stuff back, or would you rather have Patrick?
I think it just depends on what you can get for him. I think the name value, when you think about real life NFL, you know, on the field product, he's going to be an MVP candidate every year, basically. So like, he is the dude, he's great. But when you think about, you know, where he's valued in dynasty for the last couple years, before last year it was like Josh Allen is QB1, but before that it was like Mahomes is QB1 for the next 10 years. But I think his most likely scenario is he probably finishes somewhere between quarterback 5 and 9 every year, which in dynasty is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know that he has like top 3 ceiling, because they literally don't run the QB sneak ever at the goal line for him. So you're not getting the rushing touchdowns. And I do agree, Kelsey's probably going to be, you know, closer to the end sooner than later here with the next year or two. Rashee Rice, yeah, it's a mild concern, but I think these situations usually get sorted out. And I think Hollywood Brown's a good signing, but I don't think it's incredible. So if someone wants to pay top dollar for Mahomes, as long as you're getting something back that's worth value,
Let me ask you this, because these are usually the type of deals you get done when you've got a superstar at quarterback. You trade them for a really good quarterback plus first. So let me throw out some names and say, would you trade Patrick Mahomes for Justin Herbert and a first?
No. That's so tough, man. I think if the first was like the top half of the draft, I probably would. If it was like a late first, I don't think I would.
Okay. It's interesting, because I'll just throw out all these names, because you might have them in a different order. But Kyler Murray, Anthony Richardson, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert, those four and a first, not all of them, but like, would you trade Mahomes for a 2-year younger Kyler Murray plus a first, who runs, has always been successful, but has been injured? Would it take more than a first and Kyler? That's where I'm curious, because Mahomes is going to be great. He's 28. He's going to be playing great at 38. That is, I think, the consensus belief. So you're talking about a decade of a really great quarterback, and 5 years from now, he'll have an entirely different wide receiver core that you don't know the names of now, and they will be stars because they have Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be great. But 5 years from now is an eternity in dynasty leagues, and he might have been injured for 1 year or whatever. To me, if I can trade Mahomes and get a really good, like, who scores more fantasy points this next year, Kyler or Mahomes? It's a fair debate.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow or Mahomes? It's a fair debate. I don't know. Maybe I'll have Mahomes ranked higher, but it's like they're in the same this year and probably next year. And so when I play Dynasty, I'm not crazy concerned about 5 years from now. So for me, I would trade Mahomes for one of those type of guys, like a really good. I'm not talking about, like, you know, go get Tua and a first. To me, that he's in a different tier, but I would do it.
The Joe Burrow is very interesting, because we have 2 full healthy years of Joe Burrow. Like, that's all we have. It feels like he's been in the league forever, but somehow our sample is still very limited on him. But in those 2 years, the quarterback 8. With 4,600 yards, 34 touchdowns, he was averaging just, and this is a 4-point quarterback, he was just under 20 points per game. The next year, just under 22 points per game, 4,400 yards, 35 passing touchdowns. The difference is rushing. He had, you know,
some more rushing yards that third year, and five rushing touchdowns. So that's where the score got bumped up. But it's Mahomes runs more than Joe Burrow, but they're close to an archetype where you're comparing Mahomes to like Kyler and Josh Allen, they play so differently. I think that if you can get Burrow plus, I think you can get more than a first. I think you could get maybe. But the trade down, the perceived trade down to Joe Burrow from Mahomes, I think I could be open to that. And then just to refresh people's memories, Patrick Mahomes, after the earth-shattering QB1 performance in his rookie year, truly his sophomore. Then after that, he was, you know, the QB8, QB4, QB4, back up to number one, and then QB8 this past year. So it hasn't been locked in. Mahomes is number one or number two. He's been number one twice, so he really gave you a difference-making season in 2 years. But the other ones are like, it's good. It's good. I'll go. It's great. It's great. But you may need to upgrade your team at other positions. So final call from everybody. I think we're all open to the idea. He's not an untouchable fantasy player, even in Superflex. That's where we are.
Yeah. I mean, if you can basically get one of those, even in a Superflex league, if you were to do that, now you're talking about, you know, the fifth, the sixth pick being potentially Adunze or Neighbors if the quarterbacks are going high, and then you're going from Mahomes to a Burrow plus a star? Like, yeah.
So then we'll combo that with Valhalla Insurance wants to know, what are we doing with Hollywood Brown? Is this trade four, trade him away? Where do you feel about Hollywood after landing with the Chiefs? It was a one-year deal. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, one year. I think it was like max of $7 million, something like that.
Yeah, so not a stable contract that he got, but if he does well, you would expect him to be back with the Chiefs. But for now, 1 year with Kansas City, where are you guys with Hollywood Brown?
I mean, I think with the Rashee Rice situation going on, it might not be a bad idea to kind of float him out there on the trade block and just see what your league thinks. If they're worried about the Rashee Rice situation and everyone assumes like, oh my gosh, like Hollywood Brown could be the one for Mahomes, sell that in a trade to your league mates. I think Hollywood is a good wide receiver. I think what again, kind of the similar situation of like when guys show you who they are in the NFL for years, you should probably believe them. So I think Hollywood Brown's a good wide receiver. I don't think he's anything incredible or great. Going to Mahomes obviously helps, considering he was playing with Josh Dobbs and whoever else for most of the year last year, or injured towards the back half of the year through the heel injury. But the numbers have really fallen off, you know, 3 years in a row from his efficiency stuff. So I don't know, man. I think this could be one of those trap situations where everyone just gets so hyped for Hollywood, and then we're like, oh, he was fine. No, he's like the wide receiver 32 or something like that, where it's like, he wasn't a difference maker for you. So I'm willing to move off him, especially with the contract uncertainty.
Yeah, I have him in our main dynasty league. And when you said, oh, you should float him out there, I was like, yes, I should. Yes, I should. Because it's a matter of, do you have someone that is hot and bothered for him? If you do, if you have someone that believes, oh, man, he's going to be, you know, the one, he's going to be a top 15 wide receiver for Mahomes, I'm not there. So I'm not looking to unload him. I think for the most part, he's a hold. But you should at least see if someone in your league believes he's a strong buy candidate, because there's a chance. I mean, like you said, Hollywood has kind of been worse and worse every year on his efficiency metrics. We've talked about his quality versus zone. Matt Harmon, great friend of the show. You know, he's worked with us for
years.
Two
shout-outs for Harmon.
Yeah. He says he's a great zone player. On his scouting, I don't see that. Obviously, it's a little subjective. He was, you know, this last year, obviously had a heel problem and all that, but he was 1.08 yards per route run against zone. That's not like
– that's
just flat-out terrible, awful.
Do you have what he was in 2022?
I don't have it in front of me. So
I can try to find it quick.
We'll see, because the NFL over the last the same exact time frame that Hollywood has gotten less and less efficient is the exact same time frame where the NFL has gone more and more zone. And so I just and Mahomes will have that all the time. I mean,
right.
That's what he faces. So it'll be an interesting science experiment this year with Hollywood there, which maybe he's awesome. And so maybe someone believes, but if you can cash in and get paid like he's awesome, I would take the deal. Cause I could easily see him being meh, being okay, being an upgrade over MVS, but not a weekly must start fantasy asset.
And just remember, the NFL draft is approaching. It's not a 0% chance that Kansas City at the back of the first, or if they have their second, I don't recall. Like, they might draft a wide receiver. There are so many good players, and if Kansas City drafts one at that time, the market for Hollywood Brown will recede a little bit there, and people will think differently about him.
I do have one more, real quick, Mike. I do have the number for the zone. 1.27 in 2022, so still not okay. Great.
Still not good.
But it was a little bit better, but yeah. All right.
Still bad.
Quick break, and then we're going to talk some trades.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Robert off Twitter wants to know, would you trade Anthony Richardson, Zay Flowers, and DeAndre Swift?
It's quite a haul.
For Dak, AJ Brown, and Jalen Warren. This is a single QB PPR. So you're
upgrading from Flowers to AJ Brown. That's significant.
That's a big upgrade.
You're going from Anthony Richardson to Dak. Different people could see this as an upgrade. Different people could see this as a downgrade.
Yeah, that's fair. I see it as a downgrade.
I've got Anthony Richardson ranked above Dak, but at least this coming season, the next 2 years, like Dak could be right there with him. So, sure. And then
DeAndre Swift turns into Jalen Warren, which is
I think that's a pretty big downgrade. Yeah.
But you get AJ Brown.
Yeah. Who I think is probably the most valuable asset here.
I was going to say that's it to me when I see a trade this close, which I do think this is a very fair trade. I'm always just going to say which side has the best player in the deal, and to me that's AJ Brown. So I think I would take that side.
I would take I am on that side in a vacuum. If I just look at these two options, I would rather have AJ Brown on my roster. That being said, in a dynasty league where waiver wires are not able to replenish the running backs when they get injured, you need to look at your team and say, if DeAndre Swift's your RB2, then I would not make this deal. I would stick with Anthony Richardson, who I love, not get AJ Brown, because you can't have no depth at running back in a dynasty league.
And it's not only the best player in the deal of talking about AJ Brown, but he's going to be 27, and I would say consensus-wise, he's still a top six wide receiver. That's where we have him in our startup rankings in the Dynasty Pass. I'm sure plenty of people still have him as a top five Dynasty startup wide receiver. So it's a big upgrade going from Flowers to AJ Brown. This one's from Nate. Oh, man. Kyren Williams or Saquon Barkley in a half-point PPR dynasty.
Well, I know where I've got him ranked. I've got rankings. So, but I'll let Mike pull up his.
I know where mine are.
Okay,
and it's still a big struggle because I have Kyren one spot ahead of Saquon Barkley. The where it becomes difficult is
Kyren was so awesome last year. So much fun. It's really fun to see a prospect you like get buried and then come back from the dead to be incredible. But he still carries a ton of risk where he's still fifth round running back Kyren Williams, where they had brought, you know, Cam, it seemed like Cam Akers was going to get a shot to be the lead guy in week one. That kind of disappeared real quick to be just Kyren. But the point being, Kyren is in the perfect situation for him. Running backs in Sean McVay's system do extremely well. The part of why Kyren was so great, because of the offensive scheme of Sean McVay, and Kyren is running against six defenders in the box, where, like Barkley, if it's going to be better now,
it's
going to
be a lot.
It's going to be a lot better now that he's on Philadelphia. But the point being, like on first and long in the or whatever, he will see probably eight guys, the normal amount that you would see in the box, where Kyren will continue to see smaller, lighter boxes, can be able to run, have huge plays. But what is the true shelf life of Kyren Williams? I mean, he's going into year three of his rookie deal, so his deal has 2 years left. Is he replaced in 2 years? Does it when he's a free agent, does he go get that bag of money, which he should? I highly encourage Kyren Williams to get paid, young man. But where's that bag of money coming from? Is Kyren actually that? Can he go to a different team and succeed? I don't know. Where Saquon Barkley has this huge contract. Yeah, he's 27. Don't love that, but he's got the huge contract on a high-powered offense, and he should be fantastic for the next few years in fantasy. So that I've laid out the whole case. So where do we stand? Jay, I'll go to you first.
I'm Kyren ahead of Saquon. This is a really easy-to-understand decision. It's very easy to lay out. Saquon is absolutely safer. 100%. Saquon's role for the next 2 years is locked in. It's guaranteed on a good offense to be a good running back. 1 month from now, Kyren's situation.
Right.
You make this trade, yeah. 1 month from now, Kyren's situation could be completely different, and you say, what did I do? I am on the Kyren side over Saquon because I think that the gap between fantasy points per game will be there. You don't remember how good Kyren was. We talked about Travis Etienne. What a great season. Finishes the running back three. He scored, Travis Etienne scored 14.9 fantasy points per game. A wonderful season. On a points per game basis, Kyren scored 19.9, five more points a game. The only player who scored more was Christian McCaffrey. He was almost to the Christian McCaffrey level. Mostert, Achane, Kamara, Breece Hall. Jonathan Taylor, who, you know, obviously missed time, but on a per game basis, Kyren was the second best, and he was just outlandishly good. Great around the goal line, used in the pass, gave a true workhorse back. So I'm aiming for the upside, but it is clearly the riskier pick. So that's how I see it. And so which one would you, are you going safe or are you going risky, Betts?
Betts, I'll just throw in one more thing is when you're talking, you know, longer term or in just, sorry, to even go back for the Rams. I mean, it was years in a row. It was, you know, it was going to be Gurley. Wheels fell off real quick. You had the Daryl Henderson years, and I think Henderson was a third-round draft pick. And then it was, okay, well, we got Henderson. Seems like he could be the future. Boom, second round, Cam Akers next year. Like, this team will spend high picks on running backs, and I'm guessing they won't be paying running backs money after what happened with their team and the Todd Gurley fiasco of, like, he really put them in a cap problem where they had to be, you know, magicians essentially and try and figure out what do we do with all of this dead money for a player who's not worth that cash. So there's long-term concern, but if he keeps the job for the next 2 years, he can be a true league-winning guy. Right, Betts, where are you between Kyren and Saquon?
Yeah, I see the argument for both sides. I personally lean Kyren. I just think Sean McVay is in love with this dude. And I think you get that for another couple of years under this contract. The thing about if they draft a guy this year, is, you know, they've got plenty of holes on that roster elsewhere to address for sure. They have a first round pick for the first time in what feels like 10 years. They're almost certainly not, you know, going with a running back or not going with a running back there, right? So no one is this year. That's not the strength of the class. The class isn't that great. So even if they take one in the fourth round or the fifth round or something like that, I think it's still going to be the Kyren show. Saquon, I obviously like. I think it's an incredible landing spot. But I will
just
say,
Eagles
like,
fan.
The thing about it is, like, really, is it that relative to the Giants? It's awesome. But, like, relatively speaking, I don't know if the goal line touches are going to be there. Saquon's kind of been low-key, like, not that great as a receiver from an efficiency standpoint when you look at some of his stuff, underlying metrics. So he's also entering, I think it's going to be his eighth year off the top of my head in the league, seventh year maybe, something like that. Just at the apex of, like, when you're like, should I cash in, you know, at max value? And, you know, if you would have did that with CMC last year, you would look silly, right? So I'm not saying it can't happen. It's just if you're making me kind of look at both factors for each player, I think I lean Kyren.
Here's what we need. Sean McVay, I'm talking to you and the Los Angeles Rams. Give Kyren a fair deal.
Yes.
Just do it right. Do the whole, Kyren, you are a fifth rounder. Your cash is not where you need it to be. Let's get you set up with some true life-changing money. It's not the top of the running back.
No. You're a fifth round pick. You're just getting some money.
Let's make this happen. Let's lock in Kyren.
Give him like 3 years, $6 million per.
Sure. That's good money. Make it happen.
Relatively for us, we're like, that's great. Please do that.
All right. Let's see. We got time for just a couple more questions. Let's go with David wants to know, I currently have Nico Collins. There is a lot of interest for him. What do you think is good value? I have been offered the 108 in this year's draft. Nico, heat check, Betts. Where are you?
I like Nico. Obviously, coming off of career highs and everything last year with CJ Stroud.
Yeah, because he was finally playing with a quarterback. He's not playing
second
with
in the NFL in yards per run behind only Tyreek Hill. So it tells you how good his year was. But my fear with Nico, and to some degree, but less so with Tank, is this team was like in on Keenan Allen. If you remember before the trade went through, it was like the Texans made an offer and the Bears made an offer. So I think this team is actually sneaky live to like add a legit talent at wide receiver three. No offense to Noah Brown, but I think there's a good chance that the wide receiver three on this team is very good, and they re-signed Dalton Schultz, right? So like there's a lot going on here in Houston that if you want to cash in after a career year for Nico, I don't think that's crazy.
Where are you at with Nico, Jay?
So Nico, I'm looking up his. So it's funny. Nico's 25 years old and he's tied to a super young quarterback. That sounds phenomenal for Dynasty, but he scares me for Dynasty.
Really?
He's in the last year of his deal and they're interested in other wide receivers. So it's like, if he got a contract, like right now we are preparing for next week. We've got our early wide receiver ranking shows. So I've been doing my redraft rankings, not the Dynasty. And Nico is my wide receiver 15. That is very high. You're telling me a 25-year-old wide receiver 15 tied to a young budding superstar quarterback? That sounds like Dynasty gold. And I want to be all in on him, but I need that contract. I need to know he's actually, you know, he's not going to hit the market. And then or next year the Titans, the Texans go out and get the biggest free agent. Or spend a first rounder on, well, they don't have their first, right?
Not this year.
Thank you.
They would have Cardinals Caleb out. Williams.
Right.
Or no, I'm sorry. No, that's stupid, yeah, Panthers.
That's Panthers. So yeah, I mean,
come on, Panthers.
I am hot for Nico, but I've got worries that I presume they will go away. I think Nico has a good season and will be re-signed. But You think that a lot of times, and it doesn't always happen. So he's got some yellow flags to me.
That's fair. But he also had 80 catches, 1,300 yards, and 8 touchdowns in 15 games.
Yeah, no, he was great.
really 14 games, because one of them he played 5% of snaps against the New York Jets. I'm very bullish on Nico. I understand the yellow flags of where is he going to be.
He seems, you know, as a third rounder, he should be a player who, when it's time to sign a new deal, he should go, who's going to give me the most money? But I think that with the culture change that's happening in Houston, and he lived through the bad years, or some of the bad years, that to me is usually a situation where they bring their guys back. Like, you were part of the change. You were fantastic. Here's your financial reward. Let's go win some football games. So I would project that Nico Collins will get an extension when it's his turn with the Houston Texans. So I'm in. 25, he, even in those first 2 years where the numbers were not totally there, this is a perfect example of someone was asking, how do you trust your eyes when the analytics are not there? Because the analytics were not there for Nico Collins over the first 2 years, but the eyeball test was, this guy can ball. Like, this is a good player who's just trapped in a very bad situation, and that situation did a full 180. So I am in on Nico. I would not trade him for the 108 in this year's draft class. Would you trade him for the 108, Jay? Because that was what the question was.
I would not trade him for the 108. I would rather have him than the 108.
Yeah, I think by a lot. Where are you at with Nico, Betts? Did you weigh in on that trade?
Get something in the top of this draft where those prospects look so strong, I would do that. But for anything in the middle to back of the first, I would hold.
Who, Betts, do you know off the top of your head who your wide receiver four is coming into the prospects?
Yeah, Brian Thomas.
Okay, so would you rather have Brian Thomas right now, an unknown team, or Nico Collins?
I think I would rather have Nico.
That's an easy Nico to me.
Yeah, so
easy Nico. The other three, I'm a little bit more open to. Certainly, I'd rather have Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, which that was the point I was getting into. I don't think you'll get one of those three guys. Like, I don't think you'll get a top three pick for Nico, because if you're slotted in, you've already got your eyes and you are just thirsty. You are a thirsty boy for either Marv Odunze or Neighbors. So getting that pick away for you for Nico could be difficult. And I think that's the line. Like, I would want to have one. If it's these guys, these rookie wide receivers, give me those top three or give me Nico.
Yeah. If it was a rookie pick, I would draft Nico.
Right. Yeah. You would draft
right
Nico
now,
above
everybody else.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. We'll get out on this one. This one's from Jeremy in California. This question. Okay, Betts, go grab some water, because this question is for the former champ, champ, champ.
Champ, champ, champs. Well, that's us.
Yes, that is.
Awesome job, Mike.
You've come to the right people.
Awesome job.
Because I don't know any other champ, champ, champ.
No, but we certainly are.
I've seen some champ, champs.
I was looking at our roster.
I would like out of this league.
It's really...
I'm
it's
done
really
already.
Good. It's also... so old.
Our roster?
We are the oldest good team. Yeah. If you can name an old, great player, we got him.
Probably.
You want Mike Evans?
Oh, we got him.
Oh, we got him. You want Derrick Henry?
Yep.
Yes, sir. Travis Kelce?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's on it. Davante Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got him. I mean, all the old greats, they're there.
We're putting on oldies, cool 94.5, just playing the old hits. Listening to him over and over, and it's great.
All right, what's Jeremy's question?
It is, I was thinking about bringing a co-manager in for my dynasty team. What sort of parameters do Jason and Mike use to decide responsibilities and final decisions in trades, drafting? You know, just how do you balance having a co-manager for a dynasty league?
I think it's a lot
of... Oh, sorry. Thank you. Hail to the Kings.
Oh, thank you for reading
all
that.
Right, yeah, I didn't want to skip that. Thank
you for reading
that.
And, Betts, just so you know, he was not talking to all three of us.
I got it. I got it.
It's a lot of fun to have a co-manager.
It really is.
Someone you could just chat with about things, talk about trades, have
and
a second.
Celebrate with.
Celebrate with. It's a lot of fun to high five a good win. I think the truth is you've got a main and you've got a co.
Yep.
You don't do a 50-50 thing. There has to be it's your team, I'm the co-manager. That's at least every situation of every league I'm in, whether I am the co-manager or the manager, that's how it's always been. It works really easy. It makes it, the manager goes to the co-manager, says, what do you think? Get some ideas. Bounce things off of them. And then in the end, you either agree or disagree, and the manager makes the call.
Yep. And in this particular one, Jason was the founder of the team. I jumped in as the co, and that is exactly what I do. I do, you know, if you're feeling that, everyone gets that dynasty itch, I'll go look at my main one, and if I'm like, ah, I'm not seeing anything, but I'm still want to do something.
Still itching.
So I jump into Dino Jr., and I'll just start scouting, and I'll throw out some names for Jason. I'm like, hey, I think we could maybe go after this guy.
I freaking love when you do these
That's
things.
Right.
And to all the co-managers out there, don't trust me. Your manager wants you to look at stuff. I love on a Sunday morning when Mike goes, hey, I think we should throw this guy in over that guy. Or what do you, you know, he's looking at the, right. It's just a second set of eyeballs. And when you come and you're like, oh, you know, we should make a run at David Montgomery or whatever. Dude, it's awesome. You're a great co-manager, Mike.
Thank you.
I think that's part of why we've won three championships in a row.
Yeah. I mean, right, especially love when I'm like, I don't think we should play Davante Adams this week because he's not playing.
Right. And, those are real helpful.
So, yeah, you are there. If you're the co, you're there as support. But it's still fun. When you win, oh, I still feel great. I still...
Oh, yeah. It's your win.
Yeah. I take that W. I take those championships. So that's our answers. Betts, do you have any co-managing experience? Any
only with good stories?
He co-managed for three weeks and quit.
weeks. And I was like, dude, I'm tired, man.
My advice to you is co-manage a great team.
Come to me next year when you've got some draft
and
picks
leave
and not,
as soon,
and not
leave
Russell
as
Wilson
soon
as your quarterback
like
one.
Yeah.
As soon as Russell Wilson is not your starter, come back to me and we can talk. But I'm in the league, so I have to root against him.
I will only forgive you because I know you have twin babies. And so it's like, yeah, you get a pass on the like needing a better roster to join.
So that would be Betts' tip is if someone asks you to be a co-manager of a dynasty team, say, hey, I'm interested. That sounds cool. Can I see the team?
Yes.
Yes. Do that
and
first.
And then if you are the one asking a co-manager, asking a friend to come alongside you, and they tell you to your face, dude, your team is terrible. The future outlook for this team is terrible. Just don't take offense. Go, you're right. My team is terrible, and I wanted someone else to try and help me get out of it. But leave it at that. That's going to do it for today's show. Remember, UDK Plus. .com if you want to go grab the Ultimate Draft Kit and the Ultimate Draft Kit
you
Plus.
You do. You do want to get yes. the Ultimate Draft Kit. I mean, it's the Ultimate Draft Kit.
You're right. I should have phrased it a little bit differently. Go grab it. UDKPlus.com. Upcoming drop for the Dynasty Pass. Very, very exciting. But that'll do it for Matthew Betts, Jason Moore, and I was your host. Probably the best host this show has ever seen.
At least this
week. Fantasy Hitman, right? We'll see you next time on the Dynasty Podcast. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Podcast. If you want to take your dynasty skills to the next level, check out thefantasyfootballers.com.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.